I was going to ask if it bothered you at all that it's the black character who's the drug addict.
Well, it didn't bother me because I welcomed the opportunity to show why. And, you know, it's one thing when you see blacks played stereotypically as a drug addict, where they're just shaking and talking unintelligently, then that becomes an accepted viewpoint that this is how they are. So I welcome the opportunity to show that, like all people, when one struggles with something, they're more vulnerable to messing up their life. So that it becomes something that goes beyond color. You just think of, wow, Raleigh's really messed up. And, you know, I can see why, man, that brother of his, and I can just see why. So then, as you discuss it, you're no longer even thinking about color. You're no longer thinking, well, it was a black man, it was a junkie. You're thinking about a promising pianist that, you know, was really affected by something terrible in his life as a child.
You mentioned a while back about working with various actors. Let me touch on each of them. What was it like working with Vincent, Ron as Vincent in all his makeup?
Well, you know, he is so calming. It's like when he, actually I bumped into him, actually bumped into him recently. He lives not too far from me at the grocery store, and he's a very jovial, upbeat kind of guy. But when he has that makeup on as Vincent, he becomes otherworldly and so calm. He's like right out of a Shakespearean setting. He becomes, you know, just very soothing, so that when he talks, it automatically makes you feel better. You know, so my scenes with him, and which were, you know, very intense scenes with me struggling, were very emotional, because I felt his heart and soul. You know, when I was leaving that rooftop, it was like I burst out in tears, because I really didn't want to go. I mean, just thinking about it now almost makes me cry, you know, just the passion, you know, it becomes so real. You know, you wish that we had that kind of realness and love for one another in real life on a regular basis.
Oh, yes, indeed. And what about Linda Hamilton? How was it working with her?
Oh, she is such a sweetheart. She is like she was like a mother to me. You know, when she came to the halfway house, you know, we sat on my bed just talking for a while in between takes. And, you know, she's got this classical 40s, 50s type actress vibe where, you know, she doesn't have to say anything. And you look into her beautiful eyes and, you know, you just want to hear whatever it is that comes out of her mouth. You know, she's a very, very soothing, joyous actress, because it's like, you know, she's got that calmness of someone from the 40s and 50s, but then her eyes dance. You know, it's like she has this curiosity, like, what are you about? I mean, she seemed genuinely concerned about what Raleigh was all about, and I could just see that and feel that with her.
Now, did you hear any inklings at the time of filming Chamber Music that she was leaving?
No, not at all. Yeah, it was surprising.
Yeah, it sure was to the rest of us, too.
Yeah, When I came back, I thought it was, you know, it was the same. It was going to be her. You know, I had no idea that they had replaced her.
Was there any difference in the atmosphere of the sets between the two episodes?
No, because that vibe is so strong, and it's completely dominated by Vincent's energy. That, you know, everything else is secondary to that, because that is ultimately what the whole story is about an outcast that, you know, really can make a lot of contributions, especially if he's accepted.
What was it like working with Roy Dotrice?
Oh, he is a true father. He is a man of few words that speak volumes. You know, he's very well trained, and he could put he can enunciate the word "the," and it would speak volumes. You know, he has a way of just making everything so precise and clear and meaningful. You know, he could take just a three-word sentence, "I am here," and it says much more than "I am here." It'll say why I'm here, you know, and, you know, I have certain boundaries while I'm here. I mean, you know, when he says something, it says so much more. He was really a pleasure to watch, you know, and, you know, he would just be on the side waiting for, you know, his cue, and you could feel everything before he even said anything. You know, he is one prepared actor.
Have you ever seen him do Lincoln? I think there's a YouTube out.
Oh, no.
You should. Oh, as a fellow Illinoisan.
I can see him now with his beard and everything. I can see him really pulling that off.
Well, he's a little short, and that does distract at the beginning, but after that you lose sight of that. You're into Lincoln, and my God, his Gettysburg address is just phenomenal. Mm. You should check that out.
Yeah, I have to do that. I can really see him, because the way he speaks is, you know, he really makes something of every word. He throws nothing away.
What about Victor Lobel as the director? I know he directed quite a few shows and both of yours. How was he?
Yeah, he's really old school. He lets you, he respects you as an actor and respects your choices and allows you to go with it. You know, he's a man of few words, but you know, he's the one that gave me that eye thing with the kid. He says, you know, the kid looks down. I think if you look down from time to time, keep that in mind, you'll connect the dots. And we did that, and you know, he was cool with everything else. Yeah, he's very trusting, but yeah, he reminded me of the master directors like Ilya Kazan and those guys, you know, where he really, really appreciates actors.
Do you have any particular memory of a difficult scene on either of the episodes you did? You know, you mentioned, you know, doing retake. Was there one particular scene in particular that was an issue?
Well, there was one, and you know, and it was, it wasn't so much of a lot of takes, but it was a coffee shop scene in which I was going to score, that it was so subtle to be able to, you know, convey me really, really being in dire need, but not wanting to overdo it to the point where it looked stereotypical and that, you know, he's just a junkie. You know, I wanted people to feel that I'm struggling with even doing this. So, you know, those close-ups and those shots of dealing with the druggie coming into the coffee shop, you know, they were subtle moments, but it took, you know, a while to just get it just right to still make you... I wanted people to care for Raleigh as much as possible whenever I could. I wanted people to care for him and not just give up on him like he's a dirtbag. And because in doing that, unconsciously as an actor, I want to serve and help others outside of the acting. If I can have a junkie, you know, see that and say, wow, you know, I struggled with, you know, some issues myself, and, you know, you helped me to get off, then I think I would feel very pleased that, you know, I did more than entertain. You know, it's really more about helping if you can. And so that was a moment that required really, really subtle thinking so that could be conveyed without it appearing as if I was just a total loser.